In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Lest we forget so soon. You've got to keep that enthusiasm up through all of these days of Holy Pascha. Of course, today we have moved out of the real Sundays focused on the resurrection of Christ. Of course, we had Pascha, and then after that we had Thomas Sunday, and then last week, the Holy Myrrh-Bearing Women. Well, today, our focus leaves really the resurrection and zeroes in on more of the things that happened between now and Pentecost. And one of these things is this remarkable story of the paralytic. Because this is not to be confused, by the way, with the synoptic gospel accounts of the paralytic where they lowered in the bed through the roof and had to put the man at that point with the man on it, and then Jesus raised him at that point. This is a different occurrence. This is from the Gospel of John, not the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus at this point was heading back to Jerusalem because he had been going all over the place at this point. So he comes back to Jerusalem, and there is a pool, Pool of Bethesda. It's called the Sheep's Pool. And it has five porticos or porches that were around it. And it's called the Sheep's Pool because this is the place where the Jews would bring the entrails of the sheep that were slaughtered for their sacrifices to be washed, to be cleansed. And so because of that, the pool was thought to have certain holy properties to it, and that an angel would come once a year and stir the waters. And whoever could get into that pool, the first would be healed of whatever affliction they had. And so you can imagine this was a pretty popular place. There were a lot of people on these porches that were just vying to get into this pool. Very important to them. And of course, the ones that were more severely injured or had some kind of severe illness would not be able to make it. And so we have this man today, this paralytic, who had been there, and it almost begs belief, 38 years had this problem. And he couldn't move. He couldn't get to the pool. Yet he remained there, just hopeful that by some miracle, perhaps one day he would be able to. But alas, nothing had happened to this point. And so the Lord comes to him. And he asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" And how does the man answer? He doesn't say, "Well, yes, of course, no." But instead he focuses on the difficulties of his problem. "Sir, I have no one to move me into that pool. No one at all. I can't get there." And that was, of course, his problem. But the Lord, upon seeing this and knowing this, and for the sake of all those that were around, and as we'll hear, this story has further ramifications later on. He says to the man, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk." And the man did so immediately. He got up and he walked away. Now, why did he say, "Take up your pallet"? Well, because if he had been there for 38 years, he would have had no strength whatsoever in any of his limbs. Yet the Lord, in order to prove this particular miracle, says, "Take up your pallet and walk away." And the man did so. And of course, the Pharisees who were about at that time, seeing this miracle, I mean, they must have been as astonished as anybody to see something like this. But what do they do? Well, who told you could pick up your pallet? I mean, of all things, they see that this man can now walk, and they're concerned about the fact that it was a Sabbath and he picked up his pallet. In other words, he did some work on the Sabbath, which the Jews were not supposed to do at all. And picking up your bed and walking would be considered work. And so they were very upset about this. "Who told you to do this?" The paralytic, or the soon after paralytic, said, I don't know who it was. And then yet later, which is sort of an interesting twist to this story, the man goes to the temple. So he had been fairly faithful all this time. He goes to the temple, and Usually people are seeking Jesus out. But in this case, the Lord goes to the temple and seeks this man out. And what does he say to him? Sin not again, lest a worse thing befall you. Now this, of course, opens that great and profound question about illnesses in relation to sin. Of course, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is corrupt, that is mortal. You know, the only thing that keeps us from living absolutely uninhibited lives is the fact of our mortality. For some people, even that doesn't stop them. But that sort of hangs over our heads, doesn't it? The fact of our mortality. And yet, Jesus, by raising up this paralytic, shows that there is an answer out of this. And so when he sees the man and tells him not to sin anymore, he's implying that somehow it was sin to begin with that was connected with this man's paralysis. We don't know any more about that particular story in terms of what the man's background was, but we do know that there is a connection somehow. And in fact, if you look at the commentaries on this gospel, if you look at St. Cyril of Alexandria, St. John Chrysostom, St. Beda of England, all these different people, they talk about how, well, you can't always connect illness with a particular sin in someone's life, but yet that it is certainly possible. People have asked about this over the years, and I tell them, look, you don't try and connect something you've done recently with something that has befallen you, because it'll drive you crazy. You'll never figure it out. You'll always be wondering. Just accept the fact that our whole lives should be lives of repentance before God, because this is the gate through which we go to enter back into heaven. But yet the fact remains that our illnesses, our sicknesses, all the things that come after us and plague us through this life are indeed related to sin. Because if there was no sin in the world, we wouldn't have any of that, would we? Nothing. Everything would be fine, but because of this plague that we have brought upon ourselves and that we continue upon ourselves through acting in sinful manners, even those of us who have received the heavenly gift, even those of us who take the holy body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ into our persons every week, even though we do this, yet the inclination is still to return back to those pre-baptismal days, if you will. It's to not follow God. It's to not rise time and time again and take up our pallets and walk. Walk in the light of His resurrection. The fathers of the church also see this particular episode as a foreshadowing of baptism. That this pool that was stirred by the touch of the angels is an imperfect example of what Christ would bring to us with holy baptism. And in fact, it's very interesting. If you look at some of the icons of this particular feast day, in fact, I'm not sure if the one in our narthex has it like this, but if you look at some of the icons, the pool itself that the angel touched is represented in the form of a cross of the baptismal font, showing that very, very great connection to the things that the Lord is going to bring. But unfortunately, and this is sort of the downer section of this story today, there is a hint in our Synaxarion for this day. The Synaxarion, of course, is the collection of the lives of the saints and of all the feast days and the little story that it talks about each one of these. There is a hint in there that this particular paralytic did not end up well. Because according to certain traditions of the church, when the Lord was brought before the high priest Caiaphas, and Peter was standing watching and warming his hands as the Lord was being brought before this man, and they were saying things to him and asking him all sorts of questions about all of his teaching, and he said to them, "Day after day I've taught publicly and openly. Why do you ask me about my teachings. Ask those that heard me and these that are before you. Well, in saying that at that point, one of the guards struck Christ in the face and said, "How dare you speak to the high priest like that?" And he said, "Well, what I'm saying is true. Why do you hit me?" And according to this Synaxarian of the church, that guard that struck the Lord was none other than the paralytic who was raised today. Some of the fathers talk about the fact that, well, because the Lord was referring to all the guards that were there with Christ before Caiaphas, that somehow this one man was trying to alleviate the problems they were all going to face when the Lord said, "Ask these," referring to the guards that were around, because it was rumored that many of the guards were affected by the teaching of Christ and were willing to follow him. And so in order to sort of disparage that whole idea that the guards were following Christ, this man went up and slapped the Lord on the face so that they would not be considered to be in any way followers of Christ and encounter any of the sorts of problems that a follower of Christ would encounter. Now, this is a minor tradition of the church, but the fact that it's worked its way into our services is a very interesting thing. Because one of the fathers actually says that he who was paralyzed for 38 years has now become paralyzed for all eternity because of his actions. But yet at the same time, it's hard to reconcile it with the fact that he was so patient for those 38 years before our Lord Jesus Christ came to him and raised him up out of this paralysis. And then I think the lesson here for all of us is that even though many of us have tasted of this heavenly gift, as St. Paul talks about in the Epistle to the Hebrews, that we've always got to be on our guard, because any weak moment could come upon us and we could fall away from the graces that we've been given. That's what the spiritual warfare is all about, fighting against these temptations and these things that come upon us that lead us away from the true path of Christ, from his teaching, from our desire to enter into the heavenly kingdom beginning even now. The powers of this world, the satanic powers, do not want this. They want to pull us as far away from Christ as is possible. And so that's why it's important for us to be on our guard at all times. My dear brothers and sisters, once you go into the baptismal font, there is absolutely no moment for rest in this life at all, spiritually speaking. We have to always be alert. We have to always be aware. We have to always know that the devil rejoices in nothing more than pulling someone away from Jesus Christ. And as we go through day after day, week after week in our lives, we know that even every moment after moment, we can fall into that trap, because it's so easy to fall away, because the things that the world beckons us with appeal to our lower nature. They appeal to our appetitive nature. They appeal to our sensual nature. These things that we all fall into, that we all get led away by, no matter how seemingly innocuous they might seem, can indeed be dangerous. That doesn't mean we're not to enjoy the good things that God provides, because as Orthodox Christians, we are not anti-material. We believe that everything God made is good. But it's our abuse of these gifts that gets us into trouble. And so remember this paralytic today, what happened to him. The fact that God came to him on this day and raised him. And yet later in, possibly anyway, he turned away from that gift which was given. We don't want to be those that turn away. We want to be ones that are loyal followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, that no matter what is said about us, no matter what the world says, we have that proclamation going back 2,000 years through the grace of the Holy Orthodox Church, which has maintained this truth all this time to present to a world that is sullen and aching and in need. And oftentimes they don't even know it. Many people feel that there's something that they're missing, something that they need, but they don't know what it is. It's found right here. It's found here in the Paschal exclamation that we make all through this season and that which every Sunday of the year is dedicated to. So my dear brothers and sisters, remember these things. Remember that the light of Christ is in you at all times. That all you have to do is pay attention to it. That you just have to listen to that still small voice which we will all receive in a few weeks at the Feast of Pentecost. Listen to that voice as it proclaims to all of us the truth of the resurrection and the imperative of following our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.